Okay, so day three of God's Own Chapter 10, and race directors Warren Bates and Adam Fairmaid join us now. And how are you feeling? 48 hours in?
We're feeling fine. We've slept well. But the race is progressing. It's probably slightly slower than we expected, but all in all, people are relatively healthy, and beautiful weather's helping.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, it's great to see that there has been such a excellent weather window. Things are looking like they might change a little bit later today. But yeah, day three, and the progress has been quite slow. Let's look at Avaya. No surprises, they are leading the field. And Warren, you think that they've pushed enough of a gap right now that it would be unlikely any of the chasing teams will be able to reduce that gap?
Well, they're not particularly known for mistakes, are they? So I don't see that as a likely avenue for other teams. And, you know, they often seem to be not trying very hard, but going faster than everybody else. So I think it's a bit of a deadly combination for the other teams. But, you know, in adventure racing, anything can happen. And there is still an awful long way to go. And I just, for some people to try and contextualise how hard the race is, you know, we're going to have teams who might take 4 days to finish the first stage, that really big stage, stage three, really that major stage. And that's longer than most other expedition races around the world in just one element of our race. And there's another 9 of those to go with it. And I personally think the stage 5 and 6 are actually the real toughies, you know, for that. So is there a way in for anybody else? I'm not so sure, but you just got to keep trucking.
Yeah, it's interesting to talk about the stage that they're all on now, which is over the main divide, and most of the teams are going to get towards Park Pass today and up through this very tricky navigation area around Hidden Falls. Can you guys give us a little bit more clarity about, A, why has it taken the pursuit team so long to go from the Holyford Valley and up through this area? And then for the rest of the pure teams that are tracking that way over the tops today, will they get the navigation right? What's causing the slowdown there?
It's probably not so much navigation as terrain. And I think particularly with the pursuit teams, once it got dark, decided it was a good idea just to have a rest. And so they sort of did that en masse, bar a couple of teams. So that's probably why they're behind, and they'll travel well today, hopefully, and up and over the top and out. The other thing to remember, too, is that we're not exactly sure where Tiki Tour are. They've had some issues with their tracker, and there's a suggestion, but unconfirmed, that it might be down in their pack a wee bit. But they could be, they're somewhere between the chasing pack and the pure and Avaya. We don't know exactly where that is. But in terms of navigation, I think it's relatively straightforward navigation up through Hidden Falls. You just got to stay to the right-hand side of the river early on, then in the valley, and then you've got to know when to cut out. The problem they've been having is in the dark, haven't been cutting out in time. So quite a few teams have gone right past where you turn off to go up to Park Pass and keep going up Hidden Falls Valley. And then daylight comes and they turn around and see it behind them and head back down again. So we've had quite a bit of that. But I think once they get on the downhill leg, they'll probably just move along quite comfortably and hopefully get most of them, the pursuit guys, out tonight.
Yeah, everyone will have had some good sleep overnight last night.
Yeah, I think so. I think that seems good. But you've got to remember that, as you say, we're 48 hours plus into the event now, so everyone was so fizzed up. And the slightly later start time than we might traditionally do meant that everybody was going to go through that first night without thinking about stopping. And then you get into the second darkness, you know, second night. It's a long time to go without sleep. So I think everybody was probably teeing themselves up for a break, and it all depended about where you were at that time and what was the optimal place to do it. and there would have been teams obviously up further up the Pike River who would have used the huts or wherever it would have been to stop. Others would have kept on going and got to a tricky nav point and thought, nah, it's better to wait until first light. So there's still a long way to go yet in this race, days and days left, so just got to keep trucking.
Yeah, I suppose for these pure teams that are hopefully going to get over Park Pass today, they're going to hit the dark zone tonight. It's unlikely that any of them would choose to start walking down the side of the river, which they are allowed to do, but the pursuit teams aren't.
No, the pures don't have a dark zone on the Dart River. So and the thinking around that was is the pursuits will have to stop because they've got boats that we're providing that weigh 25 kg and are really not portable. Whereas with the pure teams, because they're carrying pat rafts, which are super lightweight, the decision was made some time ago that the river's actually pretty safe to paddle at night, that if they have to walk for whatever reason, because the cumex in the river are reasonably high, that they can continue walking. So there's no real, you know, I don't envisage any of the pure teams stopping. They're just going to keep going and keep paddling. And then, you know, ultimately, if you've got a dark zone on the darts, why would you stop at the top of the river when you know it's only 3 hours drifting downstream to get to your support crew and you haven't seen them for 2 or 3 days? So I think most people would have taken the option to sleep last night. And now they're thinking, no matter what happens, I've got to keep going all the way through to the transition at Glenorchy. But there'll be plenty of teams who will only get just down the darts and pipe in falls tonight. And sleep again tonight. And they'll do exactly the same thing but tomorrow.
Yeah, some hot pies at Glenorchy will be a very welcome sight when they eventually get there.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, for those teams right at the back of the field, there'll be the stalwarts who think, now I'm on the full course, I've got to keep trucking. And there'll also be a few teams who'll go, we're never going to make this. What are our options? Can we move further on the course? You know, can we get short course and stuff? So, you know, there'll be a bit of a crisis management thing going on in some of the teams about where they're at. But the leading group of teams are just going to keep pushing on through.
Yeah, let's just briefly talk about those, the chasing pack, the teams behind Avea. So, as we know, you've mentioned Tiki Tua. We're not quite sure where they are because their tracker is down, but they did track, what, about 2.5 hours behind Avea at CP4?
Yeah, they're around that kind of area. And, you know, you just don't know. I mean, Avea could have slept for 3.5 hours last night and they might have slept for 2.5, so the gap might only be an hour. Or they might have slept for 4.5 hours. And we'll only know when we get a ping out of CP6 or something. But, yeah, and then there's a whole gaggle of teams that are really all within cooey of each other, you know, around Hidden Falls or further up. And, you know, every few hours that go by, they kind of seem to overtake or undertake each other. So, yeah, anybody's position, really.
Yeah, I quite like the look of those teams. Top Sport, Ataraxia, MacPac, Highland Events, No Ideas all of a sudden popped up there. The Secret Billionaires. They've all got some really experienced racers in their teams.
Eudaimonia. Yep, no, they have. And there's a lot of old campaigners there. Or they're not that old, but they're experienced. So they're all going to just keep trucking along, barring injury. And for those guys, you know, the race probably doesn't even start for another day. You know, another day, maybe even 2 days.
Yeah, let's talk about injury and attrition. What is it looking like at the moment? Teams that have had to leave the Chapter 10 field already.
Well, there hasn't been any bad injury. We always get sort of leg issues and feet issues and we've got a couple of bad, bad ankles, a bad knee, that sort of thing, nothing too major. One of our more prominent teams has got an ear issue at the moment, which we are just monitoring. All it's about what you'd expect for a league like this, it's pretty challenging.
Yeah. Now, Warren, you said yesterday that particularly for some of those, or either the rookie pursuit teams or just some teams that maybe don't have a lot of adventure racing years in them, It's quite a shock to the body, isn't it, in terms of not so much the distance, but the load bearing.
Yeah, well, I think that's the notable factor here. Everything, most of the injuries that we experience in these things, and certainly doing it this year, is lower leg issues. And that's predominantly based around the fact that you're in unstable terrain, or you're not always totally focused. It's hard to do that 24/7. But also, you're carrying packs, which actually for most people, it's not the norm. And a lot of people base their training around going out for their runs or their bikes. But how often are you putting on a backpack that weighs 15, 20 kgs, got 3 days' worth of food in it, paddles on the outside, it's quite high and unstable. And the chance of you rolling your ankle is quite high. And it's no surprise, it's the lights of the Vaya. Chris just and those guys, Nathan, they live for this stuff. That's what they do every day. It's just, they just find that sort of stuff quite cruising, whereas the others are maybe not so used to it. Yeah, the chances of injury are a little higher. So, yeah, we'll just keep monitoring how they go. And, yeah, I mean, this usual kind of issue that we've talked about previously is teams having a little flap when they have an incident and they think it's the end of the world and they need this, that and the other, and then surprise, surprise, they pop into HQ 2 days later and they're actually pretty good. And teams need to keep their heads, actually.
Yeah, that's a good point, because that once you get out into this course, the difficulty and the magnitude of what you're taking on really becomes reality, and you do need to keep your head.
Well, it's when you're sleep deprived and when you're really physically tired. It's not that easy to do that, and everybody reacts differently, and you react better with experience. So that's just a factor in adventure racing. The more you do, the more sort of stable you become emotionally, and the better your decision making under pressure. I mean, it's not always the way, but it wouldn't be uncommon for us to receive a communication trail from a team, you know, when they've had an incident, which might go and require immediate medical evacuation. And then it subsequently, over the next 6 or 7 messages over the next few hours, it sort of turns out then they'll, by the end, they're saying, oh, we'd actually probably walk out to here if you can send our support crew around to pick us up. So it's just about carefully leading them through to cope with what's happening. And often it's just a question of just going, well, if you just take some downtime, eat some food, have a rest, you'll actually find that if you strap your ankle, it's not too bad. Yeah, your race might be run. And it's coping with the disappointment of that and that, what that means for your other team members who might be feeling 100%. There's a few emotional ups and downs that go with that if you feel like you're the one that's let the team down. But it's never like that. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, adventure racing, it's a good strategy for life, isn't it?
Yes. It's a week's worth of racing and a year's worth of living.
We'll leave it at that. Thanks very much, guys.